Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And today we're brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soda, they roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. Plenty of snacks. And the pickle bar is second to none. We are now really into summertime here. You need to stock up with the refreshing beverages at the Beverage Supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sean Morris of Big Ten Network in just a few moments. First, our play-by-play call of the day. The Marlins beat the Pirates. Dave Van Horn picks up the call.
1-0 is driven to the gap in right center field. It's hit well. It's up against the wall. Extra bases. Around third, racing for home, Prado, and there won't be a throw. The Marlins walk it off.
And take three out of four from the Pirates in the process. That is our play-by-play call of the day. Update, by the way, from the golf course from Mr. Girardi. 9 under par after 10 as a team. He has made 3 of the birdie putts so far. What happened was is he shot 27 at a mini golf course in Towson, Maryland. 27. 18 holes. He said, I'm taking the putter. He gave the guy $20. He took the 20, took the putter, and he's used it ever since. It's a miniature golf putter. It's unbelievable.
And I need a partner for my mini golf tour this summer. I have to give him a call.
He's your man. He would crush it. All right, Sean Morris from Big Ten Network is here, one of the top analysts in all of college basketball, and I had a chance earlier today to talk to him and welcome him back to Happy Valley.
Thanks for having me. The quality control continues to slip, apparently.
Well, look who's hosting.
Yeah, well, that's true.
First of all, I want to get into the transfer thing. We've had, in our sport 2,200 transfers the last 3 years. I think about 750 2 years in a row, about 700 this year. I know Tom Izzo brought it up, as did John Beilein at the Big Ten meetings. Now, as a guy who benefited from Bryn Forbes and Aaron Harris, I thought that was interesting. But is there, give me the pluses in the sport to it, but also what you perceive to be the potential minuses.
Well, I'll start with the, you know, the most recent, which is the graduate transfer. And
yeah.
You know, because I think you're talking two relatively different things.
Yep.
With the graduate transfer, it's essentially become free agency in many, many ways now. And the irony of it is, Steve, is that, you know, the graduate transfer, the reason it's possible is that a few years ago the NCAA said, hey, we're going to allow guys to come in before their freshman year and start to get a little bit of a head start on their academic progress. So now when, you know, it's not unusual for a guy to graduate with his undergraduate degree in 3 years. Yeah. So you can go around the country. Cleveland State comes to mind. Bryn Forbes, who went to Michigan State. They had Anton Grady, who went to Wichita State. And then they had a kid, Trey Lewis.
Who started here, who transferred there, and then went to Louisville.
He was on the See America plan. So yeah. One more time zone, and he's got it. And I think the thing with that is, if the idea is for these young guys to go and get a graduate degree, okay. But as we both know, most of those graduate programs are two-year programs.
Yeah.
So there's no way somebody is going to go for 1 year and then pay their own way for a second year.
Right.
I understand that it's a loophole. Maybe some people are taking advantage of it for the right reasons, but it's essentially provided a free agency market, especially at this time of year. And when you throw in the NBA draft, and guys can stay now in the draft till 10 days after the combine, I think this year the 25th was the last day they had to pull their timeout. So, you know, coaches are going to sit there and say, okay, I need to, you know, I have to fill this particular hole. I'm not a huge fan of that. I think that it takes a job that's already very, very difficult for coaches in recruiting, and they have to continue to recruit the guys that are on their existing teams in many cases. With usual transfers, if a guy wants to go transfer and sit out a year, okay, I get that. And I think part of it is that part of it is the AAU culture from the basketball side. If a guy doesn't like, he'll switch teams in the middle of a weekend.
Right.
And I think that's a story for a different day. But, you know, a lot of college kids are transferring for varying reasons. So if somebody goes and sits out a year and making an investment and deciding, hey, this is where I want to go, okay. But I there has to be, and I think there ultimately will be, some way that they close the graduate, you know, transfer rule. If someone wants to go and get a graduate degree, then make them sit. Because you just have guys signing and showing up at places in August, September, and you and I both know they're not going to be there in March or April. They're just not.
No, they won't. I admire the fact that when you do it, you have your degree. So you've accomplished a goal. All right.
Sure.
So that's a plus. I agree with you about the free agency part of it. I do like the draft part. I think the fact that you can now at least, I think, get a realistic draft evaluation so players can make a more informed decision about coming back.
No question. I really like that rule. And, you know, the coaches want to call and, you know, and complain about that. I understand coming from their perspective, but I think in terms of, you know, what's right and wrong, I think it makes a lot of sense for a young man to be able to go and test and have someone say to them, it's kind of like an internship in many ways.
Yes.
Hey, we're not ready to hire you yet, so go back to school and hone your skills. And just kind of to pay off the graduate transfer thing, Steve, I think what you're going to see is that you're going to see some of the schools in what you and I would kind of term maybe the mid-major, whatever that means.
Right.
They're going to say, you know what? We're not going to bring guys in as freshmen, pay for summer school after their freshman year if we feel that the athletic payoff is going to come to the benefit of somebody else. So the irony of this whole thing is that the rule was put in place to enhance graduation rates, and I think it's going to almost do a 180 where some schools are saying, we're not going to make that investment.
Right. It's interesting because Matt Painter is against the graduate transfer rule, but he accepted Spike Albrecht. But I guess he was very specific with him. He said, you're going to get a graduate degree. I think, well, if you're going to ride herd on that, I feel better about it.
Right.
You know, and Spike Albrecht was in a bad spot because John Beilein got a little bit of a bad rap because, you know, he goes into the early signing period and Spike Albrecht's in his senior year and he's going to play.
Right.
And he played 8 games. Well, he didn't think in December 10th he was going to have to shut him down and get another year out of him.
So with hip surgery, yeah.
And so that was tough. The draft, Troy Williams entered. Robert Carter entered from Maryland. Melo Trimble's going to come back. Brent Forbes decided to forego a fifth year. He entered. What did you think about what you saw from the guys? You know, Swanigan's going to stay, but what did you think about what you saw from that?
You know, I always kind of thought that Melo Trimble would come back, and I think he is.
Me too.
He's really situated. I think that's a team that's kind of laying in the weeds.
Yeah.
He was hurt last year, let's be honest. I mean, the latter part of the conference season, he was not physically what he was as a freshman, and he had to fill a different role. And so I think the ball's certainly going to be in his hands next year. I think they're going to spread the floor. Yeah. When he was a freshman, you were really working with Jake Lehman at the four. They didn't have clutter up is not the right term with Diamond Stone and Robert Carter, right. But you didn't have that post presence, and it allowed him to do what he does best, get to the foul line by getting fouled. He made the right move to come back. I think it's going to help Maryland. It's going to help him, you know, personally as well. I think Robert Carter Jr., he's a guy that at the next level they look at and they like the fact that he can, you know, shoot the ball a little bit from the perimeter. He kind of he looks the part. He's very athletic.
Sure
he's
does.
Put together. He runs well. And
you just described Troy Williams of Indiana specifically.
Exactly.
The same guy.
And the thing with Robert Carter is that he's a little bit more mature because he sat out that year after transferring from Georgia Tech.
Right.
So that one didn't flabbergast me.
No.
You know, I always thought Nigel Hayes would come back.
I did too.
I thought that it made a ton of sense. That certainly puts them at the top as you look at non-conference or going into the conference.
They lost
year.
No one.
Right.
The only person they lost from the start of last season is Bo Ryan.
Right.
And Greg Gard did a great job.
Yeah, it's so I love that rule. I think it makes a lot of sense for guys
too.
To go in and be able to test. and, you know, really not make a decision based on what somebody is telling them who doesn't really have any kind of impact on the decision-making process.
That, I think that rule for college basketball is a far more progressive rule than we what we have in college football.
Yes.
Now, the problem with college football is that the signing date is the first Wednesday in February, so the evaluation period is happening when you're recruiting, so it becomes a basketball is an early signing period.
Yeah, and I think, you know, you talk about football,
yeah,
and the transfer rates. You have guys now, it happens in basketball as well, but it certainly happens in football. Steve, you have guys that are committing to colleges they've never set foot on. They've never been to the campus.
No.
And they're making commitments to attend that place, and they have never seen the campus. And so they get there, they may commit. Then only in the world in which we live can you have a commit, a decommit, a recommit to the decommit, a decommit from the recommit
right.
to the decommit.
Well, you know, Mayo played 1 year at USC. He's the number one player in the country. All right. Never set foot on campus until he showed up at practice.
Yeah.
Never did. Just called up one day, said, I'm coming. Okay, okay.
No, well,
seriously, that's how it happened.
But sometimes those things can work out for you. That's how I got my wife. Because if she had to meet me before she made the commitment, that's a whole different thing.
I can tell you right now.
Yeah.
I know mine feels like she's circling a fogged in airport every day. When you look at what Pat's doing with Penn State, the foundation, what do you think of the foundation he set? And I know it's tough because, you know, obviously you haven't seen the recruits yet, but just the numbers tell you something different. What are you seeing here?
You know, they had a very, very solid year last year. They won 7 games in the conference,
right.
which, you know, I'm a fan. So even the games that I'm not, you know, physically at or broadcasting, I'm watching.
Okay.
And that very easily, and a lot of teams can say this, but when you're trying to make that next move, look, they were not that far away from having 9 or maybe 10 conference wins.
Right.
You know, by closing out a game here, not having a mistake there. And, yes, you lose a guy like Brandon Taylor, that's big. But you've been able to continue to progress after losing a guy like Tim Frazier a couple of years ago, DJ Newbill prior to last season, and then Brandon Taylor. And when you see what's coming back with Shep Garner,
yeah.
I really think that Josh Reeves showed you what he's capable of doing when he's healthy.
Different athlete here.
He's a different athlete, and
yeah.
what he gives you defensively, you know, because they showed the ability to maybe press a little bit, put him in that kind of position, kind of like a Jake Layman did for
yeah.
him. Shep Garner showed me something last year with his progression, with his decision-making, with his willingness to maybe make the extra pass rather than take a forced shot. You throw that in with some of the guys that they have coming back, and Watkins can really rebound. For guys that haven't seen him play,
yep.
that sat out,
yep.
everyone gets caught up on, oh, this guy's going to do this for
points.
In terms of scoring.
Yeah.
The ball is up on the backboard. He goes and gets it.
Well, you need one-and-done guys.
Yeah.
And when I don't mean one-and-done academically. I mean one, the ball goes up, that's it. That's your one shot.
That's it.
Because offensive rebounds sometimes are the best offense
right.
for certain teams. I'll tell you, another guy that's done a great job, Chris Collins, to his credit, I think has stepped into the Northwestern situation, your alma mater,
yeah.
and he's really done a good job. He's put a nice foundation there together.
He has, and I think that this year, the thing that really hurt them last year, Steve, to be quite honest with you, is their non-conference schedule was extremely weak. And,
sure.
And that's being generous.
Right. He built wins.
There's he built that. Wins. But I think what they'll do this year, and you lose guys like Alex Ola, which is huge, a lot more important than maybe the casual fan might think.
Trey Demps.
But you have a real – Bryant McIntosh is an outstanding player.
Sure is.
And a guy like Derek Pardon who showed you flashes. And I think the thing that I've really liked is that their non-conference schedule, they will know more about their
yeah.
team, Steve, when they get to January this year than they did last year. I think last year, when they took the floor for the conference opener, what do you know? I mean,
I was in that spot with Penn State a couple of years ago where they went 12-1.
Right.
And then they went to Wisconsin. They just missed. And then they started out 0-6.
Yeah.
And they get Vic Law back this year.
They get Vic Law back with the shoulder.
Vic
yep.
Law's a good player. For you, I've talked often, and I know you don't believe me, but, I mean, I've talked often what a great job you do.
Well, thank you. Yeah,
no, but you
it's working.
No, but you know what? You're always prepared. You're into each team on the floor, and you're not bigger than the game. I mean, I love being around no ego people. I mean, and that's you.
Yeah.
And for you, the passion of the game, what does it take for you to prepare? What do you, as a goal, try to impart each time out when you broadcast?
Well, and so if you can tell somebody maybe something a little bit about what they may not know, about what made possible what they just saw, I think that's your job. And if you don't have something to say, there's absolutely nothing wrong with shutting your yap.
Well, how much do you find yourself in a play watching the play away from the ball, as you say, but also being engaged with the monitor? What kind of percentage do you try to get? Because I know that producers and directors love you looking at the monitor. They do.
Yeah.
Because that's, you know, that's what the fans see. How much do you have to condition yourself on each, because you're trying to impart something they can't see, and you can only do that by not looking at the monitor?
I spend the majority of my time, hopefully none of my producers are listening, the majority of my time I'm watching the game or I'm watching away from the ball.
Yeah.
Just because you can always glance down at it if you need to see it. And if someone were to go in your ear and say, hey, I'm going to show you the last, you know, the back door from Garner to, in this past year, Donovan Jack, you know, for an example. Okay, then you might glance down just so you can see something that you thought you saw, but maybe you missed something. I just think that being that close and being able to see some things, that's what my role is.
Right.
And I think, especially for television, that's, in my opinion, far more of a chance for an analyst to kind of have the floor, where in radio,
right,
there is no picture. And the play-by-play person has to paint the picture. They have to show the person at home what's going on. And if you're an analyst, and I've done radio, and for me it's far more difficult because you have 3 seconds, 5 seconds, say something and get out. Because on television, you don't have to say, you know, the ball goes from person A to person B. The people can see that, and it allows it to breathe a little bit more. So it's a little bit, you know, television, if it's done right, you don't have to talk all the time. But if you see something and you have the ability to maybe go back and revisit something, that's what I kind of see as my role is.
You do it really well.
Beats the heck out of working. I'm not equipped for real work.
Hey, the two of us, every time we run into each other, still not working, man.
That's it. This coaching staff and the program as a whole, the caliber of people, you want to be around them. You know, you like being around them, and if you combine all those things, there's a lot worse ways, you know, to spend a weekend, and this is a tremendous event, you know, for a tremendous cause. And like I said, and it gives my wife a weekend away from me, so it's a win-win all the way around.
Plus, you get to wear the free shirt.
Hey, if it's free, it's me, Steve.
Sean,
appreciate it. Thanks a lot,
my friend. It's always good to see you,
Sean Morris from Big Ten Network. Really, one of the better analysts out there. Like, you know, he's not bigger than the game. He just tells you what's going on in the game. That's the kind of guy I like to listen to. We'll come back next half hour. Pete Lisicki back with more in a moment. Brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sudbury on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
We shot high in May
and had a lot of happy customers.
At Sunbury Motors Ford, we shot for 101 sales in May,
and we were so, so close.
Now, we're determined to do it in June,
and you'll be the winner.
101 vehicles sold means you'll save more money than ever before.
SMC is where you want to be
during the month of June, because new Fords will be discounted to the lowest price possible. Plus, we'll give you more for your trade.
SMC is where you want to be
if you want to choose from 45 new Escapes starting at $19,880.
SMC is where you want to be
if you want to choose from 123 new Ford trucks with F-150s starting at $23,749.
Save over 11 grand.
SMC is where you want to be
if you want 0% financing for up to 60 months on Fusions, Edges, Escapes, Explorers, and F-150s.
Sunbury Motors Ford will reach the goal of selling 101 new Fords in June.
Our goal is your gain.
Sunbury Motors Ford in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury.
Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for 101 years.
It's great to be with all of you this afternoon. Thanks for being on board with us. Thanks for all the likes on the Facebook page. Appreciate it very much. Still to come, Nittany Lion basketball great Pete Lisicki today at the Coaches versus Cancer Golf Tournament. Talked to Pete Kowalski today from the USGA as well. He's going to Oakmont next Wednesday. We will be out there the week after. Looking forward to it very much. So that's coming up. We got a lot going on next week, too, here on the show. Can't wait. So it looks like the door might be open with Stan Saverin on Monday.
Yep, looking at 4:06 for Monday with you and Stan. That's going to be awesome.
Great. Looking forward to it very much. And you'll have a lot to say about the Penguins, because the Penguins lead it 2-0. They'll play game 3 tomorrow night at the Tank in San Jose. And Golden State and Cleveland are off until Sunday night. Great to be with you. Brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere, wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day, and the pickle bar is second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Coming up, final half hour of the show, one of the truly great shooters in college basketball, Pete Lisicki, next half hour.
Where Sealands Grove, Sunbury, and Lewisburg turn first for news. News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
True refreshment can come in many forms, but it can only be found in one place, the Beverage Supermarket, Brewers Outlet in Sunbury. Along with their great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, they have lots of water, soda, fresh roasted peanuts, and an unbelievable variety of pickles at the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and your favorite snacks, too. Get true refreshment all in one place, the Beverage Supermarket, Brewers Outlet in Sunbury.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And great to have you on board. Today's show brought to you by our great friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket, Imports, Domestics, Microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Ugh, it's been hot. You need a cold, refreshing one. No doubt about that. Wine coolers, water, soda. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. Snacks. And the pickle bar is second to none. Love the bills, love the dill pickles, and love the barrel pickles. Without question. Or to borrow one of the favorite phrases from one of my favorite people in the world, Jack Ham, without a doubt. All right. Time now for our sports bozo of the day. And to their credit, there is rarely a shortage of selections. And today is again, one of those days where there's no shortage. You just have to make the choice along the way as to which way you want to go. And today we're going to go with the Philadelphia Eagles, where every day a new story comes out regarding the role of the quarterback. Today's latest story is Sam Bradford's doing an outstanding job in OTAs. This is after saying that it was wide open. This is after saying that maybe Chase Daniel has a shot. This is after saying maybe Carson Wentz has a shot. And today Doug Peterson says, no, Bradford's one, Daniel's two, and Wentz is three. Quote, I've said that from day one. It would be nice if the coaches in Philadelphia get together before they met with the press and everybody was on the same page. That would help. But yes, OTAs do continue. But Sam Bradford, number one quarterback. World loves him. All right. One of the true greats in the history of Penn State basketball. You want to talk about getting a high priority recruit. Pete Lisicki was an absolute high priority recruit for Penn State back in the 90s. And when he got here, he fulfilled his potential. He, for, I want to say, a minimum of 15 years, still held the career three-point shooting records in the Big Ten. That's how good he was. Helped lead Penn State to an NCAA tournament. Helped lead Penn State to a top 20 ranking. Helped Penn State get to the NIT Final Four. In fact, two of them. Two NIT Final Fours and an NCAA tournament during his 4 years at Penn State. So he fulfilled his promise. He's also one of the really great guys, an old friend. And he and I go back years ago, for whatever reason, they paired the two of us up in a charity golf tournament. And we laughed our way through the tournament all day, for whatever reason. It was crazy.
Had a case of the giggles before.
Not
that
like...
day was like being back in third grade when one kid laughs, the next kid laughs, everybody's laughing, we don't know why.
And
we did that for 4 or 5 hours.
Yes, and we started painting smiley faces and frowny faces on golf balls and all sorts of stuff. We were extremely immature individuals. It's great to have you back. I know you're in Scottsdale now. What does it mean to you to get back here?
It now means 3,000 miles, and I can add to my frequent flyer miles account. But no, any excuse I can get back to Penn State, I will definitely jump at the chance. Obviously, this is around now for 20 years. Mm. I was a part of the first one, which means time flies. I'm getting old. but yes, such a great cause. I mean, you can't... the older I get, it's, you know, who's next going to be letting me know? Coach Dunn's daughter. I can't, you know,
and
there's so many.
Yeah, Morgan, man.
But seems to be doing okay, and things look good. But again, you can't find a better cause for me, and a better place for me is where I went to school, best 4 years of my life, outside of the years I've spent with my wife and my children,
oh, yeah,
of course.
No, obviously.
But, you know, the... it's always a great time, and so many familiar friends and faces. As you said, you laugh your way through 4 or 5 hours of golf and friends.
Yeah. You stopped playing about 7 years ago. You played in Europe for a while. And what do you miss about the game? And also, what don't you miss about the game?
I don't miss being hurt all the time.
Yeah.
I don't miss dumb coaches.
Yeah.
My last four seasons were three different coaches that were, God bless them, you know, they coached at a high level in Europe, but man, I had a lot of disagreements with them.
Yeah, right.
And you know, so that made it a little bit less of a joy. But I do miss the, you know, you maybe you win, maybe you lose, but you know there's going to be another game real soon that you can get right back on the winning train. And it's a, I mean, when you win a game, and there's nothing like it, and you win a game in front of 5,000, 10,000 or more people. You know, depending on when I was playing overseas, we had good crowds in a lot of places. But it's an exciting thing that I certainly missed that part.
If I recall correctly, because of your mom, Donata, of Italian lineage, that opened the door actually for you to get an exemption to play. Instead of being an American playing on an Italian team, you were considered to be an Italian playing on an Italian team.
Sì, sono un cittadino italiano. So my mother's mother is Italian.
Hold on a second here. The
Google Translate app?
No, the FCC, it's just a little quick thing that didn't translate the way you thought.
Are we delayed a little bit here?
I hope.
In case of cussing in Sicilian?
That's right.
Yeah, so they have foreign labor laws there, as we do here. Yeah. And unlike the NBA, where they don't care where you're from, they'll sign you, and there's no quotas on how many international players you're allowed. Depending on which country you're in and which year you're talking, they change the rules from time to time. Yes, there would be a limit on how many Americans you could have. My first 4 years, I played as a foreigner, but then the other 7 years I played as a domestic player. So you're fighting for more spots on each team, and definitely I was still an American. If I didn't play well, they would have cut me, but nobody ever cut me, so I did okay.
You and Dan Earle were probably the most important Big Ten recruits that Bruce got. Because it was the time when Penn State was making the transition into the Big Ten. Pat now has a recruiting class that probably is the most important to him in combination of what he has. Did you feel the pressure of it initially, that a lot was being put on you guys because you played right away, but what were your thoughts on that, or was it just a normal transition to you?
I mean, as a wide-eyed 18-year-old freshman, I was expecting us to go to the Final Four of the NCAAs at some point.
Right.
For me, it was fun. I enjoyed the challenge. I knew, you know, I wasn't completely unrealistic coming out of high school. But as I was saying, I was over at the Jordan Center yesterday and talking with some of the current players. I played about 20 minutes a game my freshman year.
Mm-hmm.
I'm averaged almost 10 points a game. If you say that about a freshman, that's pretty darn good.
I remember you came off the bench. The Miami game with about 14 to go, Penn State's down 20, and you hit a big three that jump started the whole thing.
I think I was 0 for 9 right before that point.
It had not been a great night. It finished as a great night, but that jump started, and that's what the three means. But no,
sure.
Sorry, I didn't mean to
cut
you off there.
No, but you know, back to just what my expectations were and if there was stress or pressure. No, I mean, it was exciting. And then we were into the Jordan Center, and it was packed. Even when we had a rough year my junior year, we still had good crowds and excitement. You would go downtown and get a meal somewhere, and everybody that could stop and say hi and ask you, you know, what's the team doing or how are you guys doing? There was a buzz in the air for sure. And I feel like that kind of buzz can be had again. It's just a matter of winning. It's real simple formula.
You also have to have good people in the program.
Sure.
And I think the best recruiters are your players. To me, that's an important part. You helped recruit a lot of people. Dan helped recruit a lot of people. Calvin did. Jarrett did as well. When you talked to them and just had a little give and take with them yesterday, I think there's only six of them here right now.
That's right.
What kind of sense did you get about them as people?
Oh, I said when I saw Pat just now, I said, you know, I talked with a couple of the guys. They look you in the eye. They listen. They were, you know, they sounded genuinely like great kids. And that's important. I've seen a lot of teams with different dynamics to the team. You don't want a bunch of nice guys. You want competitive fire kind of guys. But also guys that are going to be friends with each other off the court to some extent. You know, I wasn't best friends with every little teammate I've had at Penn State or any other team I played for, but you at least have to be able to respect each other, to talk to each other about something, and know that you're there for a common purpose. And again, they seem like they had some intangibles just from the quick meetings I had with them.
You ended up playing 11 years professionally, now 7 years out. How well did Penn State prepare you for this important step that will be the rest of your life?
I talked with Davis, the Lithuanian kid, yesterday.
Davis,
and the one thing I said to him was, work your butt off. It's going to pay off. You know, you're not sure when, you're not sure how, but it will pay off. But make sure you also make friends. And as a real-world person now, I have a job. my first interview. The interview lasted about 30 seconds of the professional questions about finance. And then the interviewer started talking to me about my Penn State basketball career and how he remembered me playing basketball at Penn State. You know, so it has opened doors for me in so many ways. Many of my clients as a financial advisor now knew me one way or another via my time as a Penn Stater. So, yeah, I mean, it's not only the people here, but also the way that you can apply all the things that dear old State, you know, taught in class and taught about how you're supposed to carry yourself.
You picked the Scottsdale area to live in. What is it about that area that's a special area for you that you enjoy and really is home to you now?
Not nine holes of rainy golf like this morning.
Yes, I understand.
I didn't choose Scottsdale. My wife had been living there for a while. She's from Northern Virginia originally.
Okay.
We met down in the Rehoboth Beach, Dewey Beach area 10 years ago.
Where you're going to go in 2 weeks.
She graduated from the University of Arizona, and one thing led to another. We got engaged. I had just stopped my last season in Italy when we got engaged, and I said, okay, I'll send my car out there and some clothes, and I'll figure out what to do with the rest of my life. What do I really like about it? There's no traffic, really.
Yeah.
I was driving in Pittsburgh yesterday. Oh, my goodness. I have a client.
Okay.
Connection. There is a Penn State connection with my client.
Yeah.
And, there's a number of things. That's probably the biggest negative is that I'm away from Pennsylvania and Penn State and my family and friends that are back here.
I mentioned his mom, Donata, his dad, Jack. You know, your brother, Gabe, played for Ed down at East Tennessee State. How is your family doing overall right now? Because, I mean, they were around us all the time. When you played, and that was really part of the special bond that all of us had.
For a family of 8 children, and my parents are still alive, doing well, we are pretty darn close, and everybody's doing well, and I'm thankful that I have them in my lives.
Oh,
yeah,
goodness,
and
great people.
I have always been the black sheep, so, you know, living in Europe and living in Scottsdale
campaign.
Now, but most of my siblings live within at least an hour, max an hour from where we grew up. So, yeah, I mean, tonight I'm heading back there and hopefully going to catch as many of my siblings and relatives as I can.
Well, please tell them I said hi, because in the long lineage of people that have come through here, your family is really special.
And
I really like them very, very much. You too.
They're reasonable people, Steve.
That's usually the base standard I have.
Don't expect too much, but...
After 35 years of doing Penn State basketball, it's just like, I can't keep it like, okay, they're reasonable, they're good enough. Pete, it's great to see you.
Miss you, man. Love you.
Miss you, too,
great
man.
To see
love you.
You,
too. People ask me about doing this for as long as I've done it. And that's one of the reasons, you know, there's a lot of list of special things. But it's like, you know what? Years ago, and you'll like this, Pete. Years ago, Red Barber... This will be Vince Scully's last year. And Red Barber told Vince Scully, you know what? Now, I realize it's professional, so this is a little bit different. But don't get close to the players, because if you have to say something. I can't, you know what? You can't travel around with people and then be around their families, and you can't. I mean, to me, it's like an extended family. So, and, of course, he's one of the special ones. So.
Pete Lisicki joining us today, one of the great shooters in the history of Penn State basketball, maybe the best shooter in the history of Penn State basketball, and certainly held Big Ten three-point records for 15 years before John Diebler broke a couple of them out at Ohio State. We will wrap up this broadcast extravaganza as only we can in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Wrapping things up, Stan Saverin's going to join us on the show on Monday. Great to have him. And somebody who was very important, especially early in my career. I just can't say enough great things about him and the intelligence and savvy he brings to the job. So great to have him back on board and talk with him on Monday, which we will do. Our thanks to Kim Jones from Big Ten, from NFL Network, who joined us yesterday. Kenny Albert from the New York Rangers and from the NHL joining us earlier this week as well. Pete Lisicki today. Sean Morris from BTN today. Jared Stevens today. We've had a lot of fun. So, and it's been a pretty good run. Not a bad run. We're just going to, you know, we're just determined to keep the run going.
Come back.
Why not?
Yeah, we'll come back Monday and try to top this week. See what we can do.
Yeah, that's the goal. Try and top it. And I talked with Pete Lisicki today. Pete Kowalski today, who runs all the media for the USGA. Pete's an old friend. Goes back 30 years. Pete used to be the sports information director for basketball here at Penn State. Pete was back today. He's going to go to Oakmont on Wednesday, he told me. In all likelihood, Jordan Spieth and Dustin Johnson are going to be available on Monday. But then there's going to be a bunch of guys available on Tuesday that week. And that's what we're going to shoot for. Don't worry, the comments of Jordan Spieth will make the broadcast. Pete assured me there was a way that I will get the file. So it's good to have friends in high places. And hope you enjoyed it. We had a great time today. Coaches versus Cancer. They're going to clear the $2.5 million barrier over the 20-year span. This is the 20th year. We're going to clear $2.5 million altogether. I still have to go tonight to MC the event at the Mount Nittany Club this evening. Then tomorrow I'm going to MC the closing ceremonies for Special Olympics. There's a full day of Special Olympics tomorrow. So I'll do that tomorrow afternoon at 4:30. And I looked at next week's calendar, and I have no events on the calendar next week, Sean. None. No events.
Okay, over under more rounds of golf. We'll put the over under at 4.
4 rounds of golf next week? Distinct possibility.
Weather permitting. Then again, that didn't stop you this morning, so.
It doesn't matter. Got 4 done today. All it meant was, instead of hitting gap wedge, you hit pitching wedge because you were going to get no roll. I mean, the ball's going to stop when you hit it. I mean, that was great.
So I just want to make sure weekend. I just want to make sure I heard you correctly from earlier. Dick Girardi only has 2 clubs.
He has a 7-iron, and he has a putter that he shot 27 with at a mini golf course in Towson, Maryland.
I wouldn't let that go either.
He said it was so great. He went in, flipped the guy a 20. Guy told him, "Keep it, man. It's all yours." Gave him the 20. Took off. He's had it ever since. As I updated you, he had gone through 10 holes so far. His team was 9 under par. He had sunk 3 of the birdie putts. All with the Adzo Zero putter. Available, by the way, at your local miniature golf course. Not everybody can go to an event like this and have a mini golf putter and make it work. Mr. Girardi is the exception to the rule. We look forward to Monday. We look forward to the next week. It'll be a lot of fun. We hope you enjoyed this week and all the great guests that we had. We thank them for carving out a few minutes to be with us. We hope you enjoyed it. We're brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. Great to have you with it from the Sunbury Motors Studio.
We're your home for news, sports, weather, and your home for the Phillies, News Radio 1070 WKOK, Sunbury.